back. I'm your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor. I began learning tarot when I was still in elementary school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So I hope you're all continuing to have a good Virgo season and beginning of the 9-9 portal, which actually was this past Wednesday. And for those of you who don't follow the astrological energy of all the portals, I know there's a lot of them throughout the year. We just passed the September 9th, so obviously the 9-9 portal. And this was more potent than usual because it's 2020 and isn't everything, but also because Mars also went into retrograde on the 9th of September and is going to continue to retrograde through November in the sign of Aries. So this was the beginning of a time when we may start to feel even more triggered and tested and activated. And it's kind of coming up so that we can look at it, things that we may have thought we healed, that we may have thought we moved through and cleared, I'm being activated yet again. And when I look at this, and I did a short video on Instagram TV, if you haven't seen it and want to go more into kind of the energy around the 9-9 portal, but I always obviously look at everything through a tarot lens first and astrologically, but the 9-9 portal aligns with the nines in tarot. And you know, our ruler of September is the Hermit card because of its association with Virgo. And when we think about the Hermit and all of the nines in the minor arcana, how do they relate to this kind of energetic shift in the ascension process? And we look at the suites, and they move in order from swords, because swords are the fastest moving, to wands, to cups, to pentacles. It kind of gives us a little journey of the energies that we might be working with in this fall time period. So the nine of swords represents these tests and these triggers and anxieties that may be showing up for us. You know, where are they popping up? And are they real? Are they actually bothering us in the now moment? Or are they reactions to old wounds rather than the current situation we're being faced with? If they're in fact real and in the now moment, what are the lessons that are being presented with these fears and anxieties? What do we need to kind of look at? What do we need to face and possibly integrate or possibly clear out of our lives completely? Many people look at Nine of Swords, and no one likes getting this card in a reading, honestly. And a lot of people look at this as like the victim card. It's in the OG Smith Rider Wade, he's sitting up in his bed and like, you know, sleepless nights and stress and anxiety and insomnia. And this is a little harsh, but I call this the shut up or do something card. And I will tell you, I love my dad so much. Honestly, he's one of the closest people to me at this point in my life, and I love him dearly. But we had a tumultuous relationship growing up. And one of the things that we would always kind of bat heads on is he was someone who loved to complain about things and play the victim, right? And complain, but like just air those grievances without a strategy or a solution. And since the time I was little, I used to say, I think if you're unhappy about something, you have two options. You can shut up or you can do something. And my parents still laugh about this because it's very much how I've lived my life. When, in past relationships, in jobs and living situations, when I was unhappy and there was something negative, I'm not good at shutting up. Clearly, you can probably tell that about me by now. So if something wasn't in alignment, I had to make a change. I had to do something. And Nine of Swords really asks us that, you know, what is it that we're being triggered with? And is it real? If it's real, is it worth complaining about? And if it's worth complaining about, how are we going to do something? What are we going to change? And what can we change? Even if that's within ourselves and the way that we're looking at and perceiving those Nine of Swords moments. And the next card kind of in this 9-9 portal energy is the Nine of Wands, which is that card of perseverance that reminds us to hold strong and trust our inner knowing to guide us towards the finish line. And when we think about this year as kind of like a whole span of time, we're in that final quarter of what has been an incredibly challenging and tumultuous year. And the Nine of Wands really asks us to examine what's worth fighting for and what would we be better off releasing. I had to look at this one a lot when I was contemplating leaving Manhattan, and I came to the realization that I could choose to stay and similarly, even now that I'm in Amish country, Pennsylvania at the moment, I could choose to go back at any moment, but it would be in exchange for a much lower quality of life and at the sacrifice to my own well-being, you know, from my personal lens and life perspective at this point in time. So Nine of Wands is kind of like, what's worth holding on to? And for me, it was quality of life. For other people, that might have been staying a New Yorker. And there's no right or wrong in Nine of Wands. The only thing that's quote unquote right is what is your inner knowing telling you to do. Wands is that fire, that passion. Where does your passion lie? And where are you going to hold strong and kind of persevere within that knowing of what you are truly passionate about? The next stop through kind of the nine nine portal, and we may vacillate between these energies. It's not necessarily that we start with the triggers of Nine of Swords and then, you know, end at Nine of Pentacles. They may pop up at different points, and it's just like time is not linear but spiralic. These journeys, these portals are very spiralic, right? So we may have different points of these at different parts of this journey throughout the fall. But the next stop, if you will, is the Nine of Cups. And the Nine of Cups really symbolizes our strong ability to manifest our wishes as a reward for all of the work we have done. And almost letting us know that any losses, any trials and tower moments that have occurred up until now were a bigger part of the plan. And as we faced and embraced those things, we cleared space, cleared energy to receive more aligned, yes, but kind of like a higher timeline, a higher frequency, a better way of being based on where we are now, where we're vibrating now. And then lastly, the Nine of Pentacles brings that lovely little mofo in that garden, or I guess it's a vineyard of coins, just living the dream life, you know? But Nine of Pentacles really signifies it's the dream life that has been created by our own journey. And this card is known for representing abundance and freedom and success. And to me, that's the ultimate goal. You know, that new earth that we're headed towards is all about freedom and abundance for all. So if we look at the 9-9 portal and the challenges of that, this Mars retrograde that we're in, as an opportunity to move through the nines, and it's really, there's going to be challenges. The fall is going to be rocky. It's going to get more intense. It's going to get, more tumultuous, but it's actually an exciting time of growth. And in many ways, you know, as are the nines, it's completion of old cycles. It's the clearing and completion. So before I go into this month's questions, let's just go back through our cards of September and pull our card of the week. September, as we mentioned, it's the ruler of the nines. We have the Virgo ruled hermit, the ninth card of the major arcana, and the overseer of the 9-9 portal. So the hermit really provides that invitation to go within, to remove external noises, opinions, and pressures, to access our own inner GPS, to know how to navigate this, to know what to give energy to, when to shut up, when to do something, right? And one of my spiritual gurus that I follow, Lori Ladd, recently posted a video about this time, this energetic period, and within the 9-9 portal throughout the Mars retrograde really is kind of like being on, she referenced the analogy of being on one of those belts in the air airport, I don't know if they're called, like, they move you faster. Like, you don't have to walk it, the little conveyor belt almost for humans, for lack of better terminology. She's like, it's like being on one of those belts in the airport where there's things going on all around you, and you get to decide what you give energy to, or if you're just going to be present and keep moving forward on this journey. And the greatest way to work with the energies, to flow with the universe, is to be present and keep moving on that belt versus getting caught up in the chaos on one or both sides of you. And as I mentioned in the last episode, this hermit energy of doing just that is associated with the throat chakra. And this is where we can ask ourselves, what, you know, where might we need to express our truth? Where might we need to either share that with others? Or, like I said, in the shut up or do something energy of the 9-9 of Swords, where is it? It's not worth it. It's like, you know what? I'm not going to give energy to that thing on the side of the belt. I'm going to stay within me. Where might we need to, though, also share our truth, speak our truth, or even value our truth over the chaos that we're hearing around us? Her second card for September is the Magician, but reverse. And I've said this in the past couple episodes of September. I definitely prefer this card upright, not gonna lie. But there are some important lessons in the reversal of this card. The Magician reverse usually comes when we know what we need to do. We have that inner knowing. We've come through the Hermit energy, but we might be procrastinating. And Virgos are notorious procrastinators and often in the vein of perfectionism. So the Magician is also, it's also ruled by Mercury, right? So this is another, there's a lot of throat chakra energy this month, associated with communication. It's a good time to get clear and ask ourselves, where are we putting work or effort into something that might be a distraction or extended procrastination? And where are we putting energy into what needs to be created and what needs to be manifested right now? The Magician reverse can also cause us to feel stuck at times or to fixate on starting things that are not yet meant to be. I will admit that I had some anxieties about my long-term home recently, and this was very Magician reverse energy of like, okay, cool, I'm really grateful for this. I love being by my family. I'm grateful for the safety and security that I'm feeling in Amish country, Pennsylvania, but where am I going to live long-term? Because realistically, like, we know I'm a city girl, right? So where is that? And like, is it going to be Toronto? Like, where am I going? And I was then, you know, talking to anyone in New York who's been there more recently than me, like, what is it like? Is it getting better? Which is a little masochistic. And sometimes in Magician reverse, we can be a little masochistic. And I liken this, I was talking to my dad about it, and I liken this to, if you've seen the movie Bird Box with Sandra Bullock, where they're supposed to keep the blindfold on for survival. And I was like, I keep ripping the blindfold off out of anxiety, like, well, let me just peek at New York. Is it better yet? Is it better? Or is Toronto better? Like, let me talk to all my Canadians. How can I get a visa, researching that? And it's like, now is not the time. Okay, my time right now is to be present, be here, you know, rest, reset, connect with my family, be fed energetically, emotionally by the people that are around me in the now moment, do the work that I'm meant to do, my podcast, my writing. And, you know, so with Magician reversed, pay attention to the distractions, pay attention to the anxiety. By no means discount or ignore it, but find what the anxiety is teaching you. And many times it's bringing you right back to that hermit of going within and being present in the now moment and understanding the difference between where are the things that are not yet meant to unfold and what are the things that are legitimately meant to have your energy and your focus and your creativity in this moment. All right, let's take a look at our card of the week. Nine of Pentacles. Amazing. I can't even make this stuff up. This is perfect because we already went over this lady in the 9-9 portal overview that I just shared. But astrologically, Nine of Pentacles is ruled by Venus in Virgo, which, as I said, this is actually really my personal goal at the other side of this portal at the end of the fall, right? That being rewarded with security and earthly abundance of Virgo for doing the work in alignment with our true inner beauty and passion and healing energy of Venus. In the OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, we see this card. I said garden, but I think it's actually vineyard. It's this, you know, beautiful woman in these luxurious robes in this vineyard with grapes all around her and coins. And there's this little bird just chilling on her left, i.e. her receiving hand, said to represent a connection to the cosmic world. And some say that the vineyard scene represents lineage and inheritance, while others argue it's the fruits of one's labor. So either way, whether it was inherited or whether it's, you know, created from scratch, the Nine of Pentacles represents the rewards at the end of a journey that we can enjoy and take a breather, even if just for a moment. And this week, the Nine of Pentacles is really asking us, what have we created that we're grateful for? And what are we proud of that we've, you know, done, accomplished, received up until this point in the journey? How can this this gratitude invite more of those things, more of that frequency into our lives? And also, where can we sit back and enjoy what we have created? And I'm so grateful, I have to say, for the virtual community I have as a result of my podcast and of all my social media. I have so many incredible connected conversations with so many of you. I've become friends with so many of you. And I now have this amazing little tarot salon with a magical AF neon sign. And I intend, in the kind of vein of Nine of Pentacles, I'm going to say, I intend to spend some extra time this week working in this space, whether it's writing in here or even just having some great connected conversations with friends around tarot and astrology as a way of giving gratitude to my Nine of Pentacles vibes that I've kind of just like being able to sit and bask and enjoy that energy. So where have you evolved? What have you created? What has come in this Nine of Pentacles that you can really just take a minute? Like I said, even if it's just like a couple of hours a night to just breathe in and give gratitude for this week in Nine of Pentacles. All right, so let's see. I've got a couple of good questions that I've been compiling, waiting for the September overview. So the first one is about the fall energies. Can you give us a sneak peek of Libra season? I've heard shit's about to get even worse from fall through the winter solstice. Any additional info is much appreciated. At Salem's Lot 86 DM'd me this one. All right, so first of all, totally love your name. Salem's Lot is a fab, I think, 80s horror movie, one of my old-timey faves. I might actually make my niece watch this one of our upcoming scary movie nights. But anyway, yes, I know a lot of astrologists and readers, myself included, have been talking about these energies. And here's the thing. How quote-unquote bad is this time going to be is also commensurate with the amount of work that you're doing yourself. And if you're listening to this podcast, you're doing some work. You're doing some, you know, self introspection, some healing work. And the reason this period is going to be intense from an astrological standpoint is mainly that Mars retrograde in Aries that we just spoke about. And that's, again, from last week on the 9th through November. And also the series of eclipses that began in June, when we think about how tumultuous June was for the collective, is coming to an end on the winter solstice, which you referenced the winter solstice in your question. That's coming to a close on December 21st. And we haven't seen that series since 2001. 9/11 was in the middle of that. And before that, 1982. So a lot of major cosmic shifts happening, to say the least. And within this time period between now and December 21st of 2020, we have a major and highly contentious election in the U.S. We also have the start of cold and flu season in the Northern Hemisphere, i.e., you know, coronavirus spikes are most likely going to happen. I know a lot of people are posting about food shortages and stocking up. And my message on this is, again, we're in Virgo season. So work with the hermit. Go within. Filter out all of those outside noises and listen to your own intuition. If you feel like, yes, it actually intuitively makes me feel better to stock up on some things, listen to that 100%. On the contrary, if you feel like, no, I'm actually good. I have access to everything that I need. I'm not feeling any fear or any like messages from my guides from the universe to do anything differently. That's cool too. There isn't one universal answer, as we're all very unique beings in very different and unique circumstances. How I would have responded energetically in New York City versus in the middle of Pennsylvania are very different. So everyone has different circumstances, different energies they're working with around them. Trust your intuition before you trust anything you're reading on the news, on Instagram, you know, opinions of others. Definitely just hermit that shit. I do believe the energies are going to get quite intense, as you said, but I also believe that, kind of like massive waves in the ocean, we can work with them rather than trying to fight them. And as for your question about what Libra season is going to bring, that's an interesting question, but yes, we're on the cusp of Libra. And I'll go more into this in the October monthly overview, obviously, but Libra season is ruled by the Justice card. So when we think of Justice, she's known for walking that line between intellect and intuition, because she's holding the scales and she's holding the sword. And one of the biggest things I see coming is this, and this is ironic given the nature of the questions that you're asking about the future. What I see coming is linear time going away, kind of that obsession with and that comfort that we find around linear time. As timelines are shifting more drastically, and it's harder and harder to predict a future that's very far out. And this can be very scary, but it's also inviting us to use more presence and tap in more fully to our individual intuition, which is, you know, very much why the hermit is so essential right now in this time, which ironically we're in Virgo. So let's stay present in Virgo and not rush too quickly into justice just yet. I'm just saying. All right. So our next question came through on an Instagram live when @AthenaMind asked me if I could talk a little bit more about tarot cards and the weather. So yeah, this is an interesting question, but I'm going to take this as an astrological and seasonal question. If you meant like literally like, you know, tarot cards and 60% chance of precipitation, I'm not so good with that. We might need like a meteorologist reader for that. But I will go through how the cards, you know, astrologically and seasonally can help us. So as we know, all of the cards have astrology rulings. And similarly, the suits are ruled by seasons of the year, moon cycles, and also by times of day, according to the Golden Dawn. So I'm a big Order of the Golden Dawn nerd. I've studied a lot of their teachings. So this is kind of what they have broken it down to in terms of seasonality, times of day, moon cycles, that sort of thing. So according to the Golden Dawn, swords represent spring, wands summer, cups fall, and pentacles represent winter. In terms of the lunar cycles, pentacles represent new moons, swords waxing moons, wands full moons, and cups waning moons. And times of day are broken out as pentacles representing midnight to sunrise, swords are sunrise to noon, wands represent noon to twilight, and cups twilight to midnight. So we work with the astrological rulings of the major arcana cards each month, like i.e. for September, Hermit is ruled by Virgo, but each of the minors have a ruling too. So a great book that goes into a lot more detail. I love this book, and I always say this is like if I could have like, you know, only one book on tarot, I would choose the complete book of the Rider-Waite-Smith. It's called The Complete Book of the Rider-Waite-Smith by Sasha Graham. This and Tarot of Bohemians are my two go-to books. I love both of these so much for different reasons. But this is a really comprehensive guide. And she breaks it down by major arcana timing, minor arcana timing, and court card timing as well. So for example, if we wanted to look at today, Sunday, September 13th, we would get major arcana, the Hermit, minor arcana, Ten of Pentacles, which rules September 12th through September 22nd, or Mercury in Virgo. And the Queen of Swords, which is September 12th through October 12th, according to the teachings of the Golden Dawn. So I find this super helpful when I want to look at a specific time period. And I'm like, hey, what are the energies? You can obviously pull an intuitive spread by shuffling and pulling a spread around a certain day that you want to look at. But if you're like, I want to see these archetypes that are associated with these times of year, times of season, you can pull the cards for that given time down as specific to, you know, the time of day to see with what suit is corresponding to it to help you understand kind of the energies around that. So I hope that that's helpful, and I hope that that addresses your question a little bit. The last question I got a few weeks ago, but I held on to because we were kind of in between Ask Cardzy B episodes, was the following. Hey Cardzy, I have a question about Three of Wands and synchronicities. I've heard you talk about this card indicating journeys on the way to good things, as well as the universe bringing signs to you. I had a really weird incident lately that I found a photo of my best friend and I from college holding up a tarot card that I picked up on the street in London when I was on a semester abroad. I didn't know tarot as well back then. I was just excited to find the card, but I could have sworn the card was Three of Cups because I remember looking it up and it being a card about friendship and celebration, which is definitely what that time in London felt like to me. I found the photo as I was moving last month, and it was the photo exactly as I remembered, but it was Three of Wands, not Three of Cups. I feel like this is a sign in and of itself some way, and I would love to get your thoughts. @CarlyKim55. Hey, Carly. I love this. That's why I held on to this until I could kind of talk more at depth around this question. I love everything about this. And I think it is a major message from the universe, you know, source, your spirit guides, whatever you want to call it, as an indication to pay attention to upcoming signs and synchronicities, especially the time period around 3 weeks from where when you found that photo. So I think you sent this to me like a week or two ago. So you're probably still in that time frame. But in time, timing, wands are weak, and three of wands usually indicates a 3 week time frame. So pay attention to the things that happened in those 3 weeks. It was also really interesting that the photo that you referenced is exactly the same, but you vividly remember a different card being in the photo before. So I'm not sure if you've heard about the Mandela effect, but there's this quantum physics theory. Many will write this off as a conspiracy theory because those of us who think outside the mainstream narrative are often labeled and cast aside, but that's a whole other conversation. Anyway, if this is something that interests you and resonates with you, it's worth looking into because many aspects of the Mandela effect theory have to do with the fact that many individuals clearly and vividly remember past events one way, but now no tangible evidence of their memory exists. So some common examples of this include the Monopoly Man. What did the Monopoly Man look like? He had a top hat, he had a cane, what did he have on his face? If you said monocle, so did I. In fact, my dad, who is not, you know, really into most of the my esoteric studies and quantum physics interests, swore up and down that the Monopoly Man had a monocle. He got so mad that when we showed him, there's no record of the Monopoly Man ever having a monocle. He's always, you know, had nothing on his face but his little mustache. He made my mom go dig out my childhood Monopoly game. And when that didn't have the monocle, he was like, well, maybe it's changed since then. He's like, I'm sure if I could find my childhood game. And he's like trying to make us Google vintage sets on eBay. And alas, there is no record of the monocle. There are tons of other examples of this. I'm actually going to attach a quiz about this, of some of the most popular ones in the notes to this podcast, if it's something that does interest you. I would also recommend the movie called The Mandela Effect on Amazon Prime. It's incredibly well done. The only complaint I had about this is there are multiple theories to explain the existence of this effect. And one of them is that there are multiple universes. You know, we live in a multiverse of not just, you know, obviously we know there are many planets beyond planet Earth, but there are also multiple universes beyond our universe. And that the one of the theories is we've shifted into an alternative universe that's almost exactly the same with slight differences, like the Monopoly Man not having a monocle, like Berenstain Bears instead of Berenstein Bears, like the in Snow White, this is another one that blew my sister's mind. Those of you who remember Snow White in the original Disney movie saying mirror, mirror on the wall, she doesn't in this now universe. She says magic mirror on the wall. I had to like watch the movie, rent it from iTunes, all the things. But anyway, so that's one theory is we've shifted in between universes. The movie goes into a second theory, which is the simulation theory that we're, you know, in this simulation. And personally, the multiverse theory resonates more strongly with me, but regardless, it's definitely worth watching, especially for you, because the photo example that you referenced, Carly, actually there's almost an identical scenario that shows up in this film. And the main character has a similar incident where he like finds this photograph, but remembers it taking place in a different location. Whereas you remember a different tarot card, he remembered being somewhere with his wife, but it was in a different location than they're showing up in the photograph in the background. So if you're interested in the Mandela effect and quantum physics theories, I also really highly recommend Elizabeth April's YouTube. I learned a lot from her, and she has a really just kind of great, approachable way of explaining a lot of this. So I hope that that's helpful, and thank you for all of the awesome questions this week. This was a really fun episode. So before we head out, I'll just quickly recap the cards for you as always. We're moving through September with that Virgo-ruled Hermit card, which is reminding us to filter out any outside noises and really, really go within to trust our inner guidance system as we get to work on, you know, what's moving forward, what are the next steps, trying to filter out outside fears, opinions, noises, and trust our own GPS. September also brings us The Mercury ruled magician, but in reversal, which can sometimes bring distractions or tempt us with procrastination, or also tempt us to try to force things that aren't ready to be brought to fruition yet. So it's really that fine line, that differentiating what is calling our attention now, that we have all the tools we need to work on, manifest, and create. This week also brings us Nine of Pentacles, which asks, you know, what have we created this far? What are we grateful for and proud of that we've manifested and created up until this point in the journey? And how can this gratitude invite more things on that frequency into our life? I hope that this is helpful to you all. I will be continuing, as always, to do my Instagram Live this Monday, 7:30 Eastern. So a great chance to tune in for a free live mini reading. I also have an upcoming collaboration with Happy House. I did one in the past in August. I'll keep you posted for the details on that. So follow my Instagram at CardZB and my website, badassbitchestarot.com, for any updates on virtual events and upcoming online content. So thank you so much. Hope you're having a continued amazing Virgo season, a successful 9-9 portal thus far, and as always, stay magical AF.